Father in heaven, to thee be the glory for the great and awesome things that thou have done, the ability, the wisdom to stand before your people comes from you. As the Apostle Paul rightly asked, who is sufficient for such a calling? Our sufficiency comes from you. Now, Father, may you endow this man with divine wisdom. May you enable him and illumine his mind with your truth. Grant him articulation of speech. But, oh God, may your word this morning that will be declared in this place reverberate throughout this nation, throughout this world, as men and women come to understand that the answer is in the manger. We commit the preaching of your word to you. In Jesus' name, I give thanks and pray. And it just says, amen. The name Robert Allen Zimmerman might not ring a bell to most of you. He has been influential in popular music and culture for more than 5 decades. Much of his celebrated works date back to the 1960s with his song that chronicled the social unrest of his days. The lyrics of his music defiled existing pop music culture but appealed to the growing countercultural passion that punctuated the 1960s. In case you're still puzzled as to the identity of this person, Robert Allen Zimmerman is the birth name of Bob Dylan. And in 1962, Bob Dylan released a thought-provoking single titled Blowing in the Wind. In this unique twist of poetry and music, Bob Dylan, in each stanza of the song, highlighted the issues that plagued the world of his days. Issues of social injustice, issues of war, and the culture of death. And at the end of each stanza, he added a pessimistic chorus. And it goes something like this. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. From a philosophical standpoint, Bob Dylan is correct. The answer to all the social ills of our culture then and now is actually blown in the wind because the issues of social justice have not been resolved. The culture of death is still very much alive and we're still going to war. But from a theological standpoint, the answer is not blown in the wind. On the contrary, the answer to all the social ills that face this nation, that face each one of us, can be found in a rather unusual place. It can be found in a manger in a city called Bethlehem. Over 2 millennia ago, a pregnant young lady, accompanied by another young man, a carpenter, arrived at the city of Bethlehem, one of the cities in Palestine of the first century AD. They came to participate in a census that was decreed by the then emperor of Rome, Caesar Augustus. But when they arrived at Bethlehem, the time came for this young lady who we know to be Mary to deliver the baby. unable to secure a room in an inn, they decided to opt for the most available place they could find, which was a manger. And in that manger, this young lady, Mary, gave birth to a baby boy. This baby boy will now hold the answer to all of the problem of humanity. This young baby boy is what we know as Yeshua, Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah. So this morning, the question that we need to ask, what answer does this baby in the manger hold? There are three critical answers that this baby holds. And I believe this answer actually formed the foundation of all the struggles of humanity. The first answer this baby in the manger holds, he holds the answer to the sin problem of humanity. In case you don't know this, one of the reasons why suffering exists, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why suffering exists in this life is because of sin. The fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden introduced three effects into the experience of humanity. The first thing is that sin disconnected us from God. Instead of a perfect relationship with a loving God, we became estranged and alienated from the God who is the source of peace and the source of joy. In essence, we traded a perfect life of bliss for a life of pain, a life of suffering, a life of hardship. And in the judgment that God laid upon Adam and Eve, we see the introduction of hardship, of suffering into the experience of humanity. Second, sin disconnected us from each other. Instead of a perfect, harmonious, loving, caring relationship between human beings, when sin enters experience, disharmony, distrust, selfishness, and all kinds of vice entered into our experience. And today, I don't have to tell you, we are our own worst enemy. Many of the conflict, many of the suffering that we see in the world is men inflicting pain and hardship and suffering on other people. And with that, we see the existence of suffering. The third thing is that sin disconnected us from the other creation of God. Instead of being that perfect steward over the creation of God and keeping and cultivating God's creation, man became the abuser of God's creation. Today, hostility and fear govern the relationship of man and other creation. And because we abuse God's creation, we begin to see the effect of our abuse in climate change. We see natural disaster that is coming into the experience of humanity and causing colossal damage. And all of this came because of sin. But in that baby in the manger, and through that baby in the manger, the problem of sin was forever settled. When he died on the cross, 33 or so years later, it became the sacrificial lamb. It became the substitutionary atonement for the sin of the entire human race. And upon one man, the sin of humanity was imputed, and he became sin for us so that we can now become the righteousness of God. And because Jesus became sin for us, the disconnection was reconnected. Today we are now reconnected to God. Today we are now friends of God. Though suffering and pain and hardship still exist in our world, but God's grace that has now been lavished abundantly upon us because of the death of Christ is now sufficient to allow us to bear the suffering. Because of the death of Jesus, we today are now reconnected to one another. We can have a relationship based on love. That agape love will be the foundation of our relationship. That because God now has released His Holy Spirit within our soul, we can now love like Jesus loved. We can love our enemies. We can turn the other cheek. We can walk a mile. We can give them our coat. Because Jesus has shed abroad in His on our hearts His Spirit to give us the ability to reconnect with one another. And because of the death of Jesus, the disconnection with nature has been restored. Instead of abusing nature, many of us are becoming conscious of nature. Many of us are going green. We're putting stuff in recycle. We're thinking about the climate. We're seeing what is going around us in our world because we understand that we have been placed here to be stewards of this world that God has given us. But it's because our heart has been renewed through the indwelling Holy Spirit that we can now look at life differently, look at nature differently, see our responsibility that God has given to us and do what is right. My brothers and my sisters, the answer is not blown in the wind. The answer is in the manger. Number two, the baby in that manger became the answer to our peace problem. Undoubtedly, one of the things that is certain in life is that life is uncertain. And because of the uncertainty of life, peace of mind is always elusive. Today, many in our culture, in our world, are gripped with fear, with anxiety, with worry. Some are depressed. And their whole range of emotional as well as psychological problem that has mushroomed itself into our culture, into our world. According to a research that was released recently by the Journal of American Medical Association, they discovered that within the past 2 decades, the use of antidepressant has actually almost doubled. In 1999, the use of antidepressant was about 6.8%. In the year 2002, it had jumped up to 13%. One in ten Americans are now taking antidepressants. But what about the issue of drugs, illegal drugs and prescription drugs? See how many of our young people are overdosing on drugs every day. See how many of our young people are hooked on heroin, of drugs of all kinds, and all this problem continue to manifest itself in our culture. Though many attribute this to other issues, but I believe the primary issue of that's going on in humans is our soul is troubled. And when our soul is troubled, that means our soul is seeking peace, is seeking a way to find rest, to find peace. But they're looking for peace in wrong places. But the baby in the manger, the baby in that manger is the solution to man's problem with peace. Preacher, how can that be? Not only because that baby himself is the Prince of Peace, but because that baby has overcome the world. In other words, he has overcome all those things that should make us fearful, that should make us anxious, that should make us depressed. He has overcome it because of the cross. John, writing to us in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 33, he said, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world." John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, or let be fearful." Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." And every time you find your peace in Jesus, your soul is at rest. Every time Jesus becomes the anchor of your life, peace becomes your total gamut that you put on. And if our world is seeking peace, don't seek peace sitting before a therapist. You can't seek peace sitting before anybody. You must seek peace at the cross. Because it's only when Jesus is your peace, that is when all fear are negated. Number three, this baby in the manger is the answer to the problem of death. There is no other boogeyman that has terrorized, tormented, terrified, paralyzed humanity than death. And for good reason. Death never misses. When it knocks on your door, there is no amount of money, there is no amount of charm, there is no amount of beauty that you think you can offer that will pacify him. He holds you in his grip and you're gone. Death cares for nobody. And in all the scientific and technological advancement of humanity, one thing we never found a solution to is the problem of death. We have never and we will never find a solution to the problem of death. With the exemption of Enoch, book of Genesis, and Elijah, the book of 1 Kings, death, everybody has died, and everybody will die except the rapture happens. May I repeat that? Everybody has died, everybody will die, with the exception of the rapture happening. So what that means is this, that death is dreadful. Everybody is afraid of death. We can't understand why loved ones go. We can understand why this person cannot stay with us forever. But the baby in the manger has an answer to the problem of death. Preacher, how does he have that answer? Because when he died, he took the sting of death. And he tasted death for every one of us. So that today, death no longer has power. But I want you to pay attention to this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It said, But we do see him who has been made made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. And the Lord Jesus himself will say, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And anyone who believes in me, he shall never die." And Jesus will affirm to John in the book of Revelation. He said to John, "Do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys. Someone can say amen to that. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Preacher, what does this mean? What this means is simple, that Jesus has resolved forever the problem of death. Oh, Pastor Wally, you will die. Yes, but I'm not going to be afraid no more of death, because death is no longer a boogeyman. But death will bite, but it can sting no more, because God, Jesus, took away the power of death. Because when I close my eyes in death, the next eye that I'm going to see will be the eyes of my Savior, face to face. Like the song said, I will behold him face to face. I will see him. There ain't no need for me to be afraid, because I know death is just a transition. Like one song said, I'm moving right up. I'm moving up to the highest floor. I am on the first floor, but I'm going to go to the sixth floor, because God is going to elevate me afraid, because death has been resolved. Problem of death. It's only in the baby in the manger. But all this that I've said to you this morning, all this answer to the problem of humanity, will be of no importance, of no value, of no effect in your life if you don't answer the call. You can't experience the efficacy of the solution unless you accept the call. Pastor Wally, what's the call? The call is simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The call that opens the door to all these answers in your life is the call to believe in Jesus and to receive him into your heart. And when you receive Jesus into your heart, your sin problem has been resolved. Oh yes, you will still slip and fall sometime. Oh yes, you will still commit some sin sometime. But you now have the restraint of the Holy Spirit that will keep you from being as bad as you want to be. You have the restraining grace of the Holy Spirit that pulls you back. The conviction of God that tells you that is not a way to go. And even when you sin, the Spirit of God be able to convict you, cause you to repent, so that road you won't take no more. When you now believe in this Son, when you believe in this baby in the manger, that peace is yours. You don't have to worry about what they will do to you, and no tax season is coming. Some of you are panicking, but in Jesus there ain't no panic. In Jesus there ain't no fear, because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding has now given us the grace to be able to stand. You don't have to be afraid no more of death if you accept this Savior into your life. Oh yes, they will cry one day. Oh yes, they will say you are gone one day, but hallelujah anyhow, because every time you close your eyes in death, sweet low, sweet chariot, getting ready to carry me home. Sweet low, sweet chariot, getting ready to carry me home. I'll know when I get to glory. I don't have to worry about nothing no more. Some of you might have prosthetic legs. In heaven, you don't need no legs. All you got is a wing. Some of you might say, Pastor Wally, I'm in bankruptcy court. In heaven, all your debt are cleared away. You don't need no debt no more. Some of you, I'm saying, Pastor, my husband left me. In heaven, you're going to find a perfect man. A man ain't going to leave you, ain't going to abandon you, but he's going to stick with you forever. And the Lord tells us in his word that he will wipe all our tears away, that he will make all things new, that the old will be passed and the new will come, and God himself will tabernacle among us. We don't have to go seek him, because he will be right there. We don't have to pray, because we can feel him. And that is why I believe that the answer is in the manger. The answer is in the manger. Oh yes, some might believe that the answer is blown in the wind, but the answer is in the manger, and it's in this child that is laid in this manger. May God give us all the grace to go down to this child in the manger. Let us pray. My Father, my God, song said, the handsome my friend is blowing in the wind. And oh Lord, for men in the world, their answer is blown in the wind. For men in this life, they have no hope. They don't see no solution from the different evil of our days, from racism to hate to prejudice. The answer seems to be elusive to our leaders. But Lord Jesus, take them to the manger. Take President Donald Trump to the manger. Take the Congress of the United States to the manger. Take the Supreme Court to the manger. Take those in Annapolis to the manger. Take our police force to the manger. Take the world to the manger. Let them understand that the answer is in the manger. Father in heaven, we give thanks. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.